You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Today, we're in week three of our Are We There Yet series. And what we're doing in this series is we're journeying through the Exodus story, the story of when God led his people, the Israelites, out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt, and he began to move them into the promised land. And so today, I want to talk to you about those seasons of life when it feels like we've come to a dead end. Come on, have you ever been there before? Have you ever just felt stuck, like you've hit a dead end? Maybe you're in a dead-end job and you had this sense of, like, there's no room for me to grow in this job. There's no potential for me here. Or maybe a dead-end relationship. Like, I know this relationship isn't going anywhere. It's really comfortable to stay in it right now, but I know eventually I got to get out of it because there's no real future here. Maybe some of you have felt that way spiritually, just stuck. Ever been in like a spiritual rut and you had this sense of like, I want to get closer to God, but I'm just having so much trouble just getting back into the habit of praying and reading my Bible. I think most of us have been there before. I think for all of us, this pandemic season of COVID has felt like one big dead end. Like, when are things going to go back to normal, right? Like, when are we going to have a vaccine? Like, are we always going to be stuck here? It just kind of feels that way. And so today, we're going to look at an episode from the Exodus story that I really believe can help us. And so let me just recap where we've been so far in the story as we continue today. Here's what we've covered so far. We've talked about how the Israelites, they were slaves in Egypt. But God raised up Moses to be their deliverer. Last week we read the famous story of when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush and he said, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And of course, Moses does that and Pharaoh won't let the people go. And God sends this series of plagues on Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh's will is broken and he lets the Israelites go. And so something interesting happens. God doesn't let them go straight into the promised land. He sends them along on the desert road. That's really where we've been the last 2 weeks. We've kind of been camped out there. And where we left off in the story is God is leading the people in a cloud by day and a fire by night. So let's pick up the story from Exodus chapter 14. Let's look at the first four verses. Here's what it says. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Now, don't let all these ancient names throw you off. We're going to look at a map together in just a moment. Verse 3, Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. So God speaks to Moses and he says, I want you to lead the people, take them and have them encamp by the sea. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cause Pharaoh to believe that you're confused, that you're wandering like aimlessly, and he's going to pursue you. And I'm going to take care of him and I'm going to reveal my glory. And I want you to notice in verse 3, here's what it says. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion. Listen to this phrase, hemmed in by the desert. See, the Israelites, they end up camping along the Red Sea, and they're hemmed in between the desert and the Red Sea. Now, we have a map for you there. Take a look at that. You can kind of see how the Israelites, they don't go straight into the promised land. They zigzag down into the Sinai Peninsula. But notice there's a little zigzag up at the top there. And actually, in Hebrew, it says that the Israelites camped by the Reed Sea. So that means they were likely much more up north. They didn't cross the main body of the Red Sea. But either way, you can see that they were camped out between the desert and the Red Sea region. They were hemmed in. Now, let me make an observation here, church. Sometimes God will lead you to a place where you're hemmed in. A hemmed in situation is a situation where God is your only hope. Come on, how many of you have ever been in a hemmed in situation? How many of you have ever felt like you've been hemmed in before? Some of you feel that way right now. A hemmed in situation is not to be confused with a mess that you got yourself into. by some sinful behavior or some really bad decision. I've known people who made 1,000 bad decisions and they wanted to know, I don't understand why God's allowed me to be in this situation, and yet they've done like 1,000 things to mess up their lives. I saw a meme on Facebook recently that said, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is you're stupid and you make bad decisions. Hello, let's keep it real. So here's the point. A hemmed-in situation happens when you're following God's leading and you're doing things God's way, yet you find yourself in a desperate situation where if God doesn't show up, you're in trouble. Remember, Moses actually did exactly what God asked him to do. He led the Israelites to encamp there by the sea. He didn't take a wrong turn. This is exactly what God asked him and commanded him to do. Now, the Bible is filled with examples of people who got hemmed in, people who followed God's will, who followed God's leading, and things got difficult, and if God didn't show up to bail them out, they were in trouble. Come on, let's just take a little revisit of Sunday school, a religious ed class for some of you guys, religion class. How many of you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I bet they felt just a little bit hemmed in when they refused to worship King Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, if you don't worship me, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. Like, hello, God, we feel a little bit hemmed in here. If you don't show up, we're going to be burnt. We're going to be like crispy. I bet Daniel, as in Daniel in the lion's den, felt just a little bit hemmed in when King Darius made a decree that no one could pray to anyone but him for 30 days. And he ends up getting thrown in the lion's den for praying to his God, the one true God. I bet Daniel had a sense of, God, I'm a little bit hemmed in here. Like, if you don't show up to close the mouths of these lions, I'm gonna be in trouble. I think about the apostles. Peter and the apostles in the book of Acts, when they went out and began to preach the gospel, the very thing that Jesus called and commissioned them to do. And what happened? The religious leaders threw them into jail. I'm sure they had this sense of, okay, Jesus, we're doing exactly what you told us to do. We're a little bit hemmed in here, like we're following you. If you don't show up, we're in trouble. And of course, the Lord sent an angel to release them from prison. This is what it means to be hemmed in. What does it look like for you to be following God's leading and yet still find yourself in difficulty? Maybe for some of you it looks like this. Maybe you got hemmed in. You got into a business relationship with someone and it didn't work out well. Maybe they did you wrong. Like, you had held up your end of the bargain. You did things right and ethically in a way that honored God, and you worked hard, and the other person wasn't honest and they did you wrong and they left you in a difficult position. And there was this sense of, okay, God, I'm doing things your way. Like, God, if you don't show up, I'm in trouble here. God, I'm hemmed in. Maybe for some of you, like, you moved to a new city. Maybe you moved to New York City or to Westchester, to this area, to take a new job, and you got laid off. And there was this sense of, okay, God, like, I followed you here. I prayed about this decision. Like, I'm here, God. I'm hemmed in. Now you got to show up and take care of me and take care of my family. Maybe for some of you, it's a difficult marriage. Maybe you're married to an unbelieving spouse and it's really hard. Or maybe a spouse who wants out of the marriage. And for you, you have this sense like, I'm committed. God, I'm committed to honoring you. I'm committed to honoring my marriage vows. God, I don't know what else to do. I'm stuck in this situation. God, I'm hemmed in. Like, I need your help. If you don't show up, I'm in trouble. Or maybe for some of you, as you've been praying, God's been calling you and tugging on your heart and calling you to step out in faith. And maybe he's calling you to start a business or to start a ministry or to begin serving or to begin tithing, something like that. And there's this sense, okay, God, I'm stepping out, but God, you got to catch me. Like, God, if you don't show up, I'm doing what you called me to do, but God, if you don't show up, I can't do this on my own. I'm going to be in trouble. That's a hemmed in situation. Now, here's the question. Here's the million-dollar question that we ask ourselves when we get in a season like this. Why? God, why? Why does God allow us to experience a hemmed-in situation when we're just trying to follow him and do what he's called us to do? The Israelites were just going where God told them to go. Well, I don't have the perfect answer, but I think verse 4 that we read earlier reveals something to us. I think there's a key here. Look at this. Exodus chapter 14, verse 4. Look at what the Lord said after he commanded the Israelites to go and camp there between the desert and the Red Sea. He said, I'm going to cause Pharaoh to come after you. Here's what it said, verse 4. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Did you catch that? Why does God allow a hemmed-in season? God allows a hemmed-in situation. Why? To reveal his glory. Come on. He allows us sometimes to walk through a situation like this so that you and me will never be able to take credit for what God has done. Like, your faith will never be the same because God will show up in your life in such a way that he'll reveal his glory that you can take no credit for what he's done in your life, and you'll never be the same. He allows it to happen so that he can deliver us from whatever we're trusting in. Sometimes trusting in ourselves. Sometimes trusting in other things, trusting in other options. Sometimes God allows you to get to a place where the only option you've got is him. Come on, you're out of options. And if he doesn't show up, you're in trouble. And what happens is once he shows up in your life, you're forever changed and your faith can never go back to being the same. That's why God allows us to end up in a situation like that, a hemmed in situation, a hemmed in season of life, because your life is never going to be the same when you encounter the glory of God. Now, let's keep going. Let me just kind of summarize a little bit what happens here, because exactly what God said would happen is what happens. Pharaoh, you know, he realizes the Israelites have left. His free labor has left. He has a change of heart. He's not so happy about losing his slaves, and he decides to muster up his whole army, like, let's go after these guys. And so the scripture says that he gets the whole army of Egypt in horses, in chariots, and he prepares to chase after the Israelites. You have to understand that the Egyptians were like the regional superpower of the time. Like, their military was unmatched. And so here they are coming after Israel, and this means Israel's in big time trouble. Because remember, they're in between the desert and the sea. They're in between a rock and a hard place, and Pharaoh's coming after them. So look at what it says here in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Come on, you gotta love this. How do the Israelites respond? They respond like any of us would respond. They freaked out. Like, come on, Moses, what are you doing here? Wouldn't it have been a lot better for us to just stay in Egypt? Like, a lot better to be slaves in Egypt than to die out here in the desert. And let me just say this. When we're in a season like this, when you're in a hemmed-in season where it seems like everything's collapsing around you, you're in between a rock and a hard place, in between a desert and a sea, like, the temptation is to do exactly what the Egyptians do here, and that is to complain. To complain and to think that God has forgotten about you, to wonder why God would allow you to be in this situation, to say, you know, God, I did what you told me to do. I tried to follow you. Why would you allow this to happen to me? Why are you causing all these bad things to happen in my life? Oh, how quickly we forget the goodness of God. Oh, how quickly we forget the faithfulness of God. Think about all that God had done for the Egyptians in delivering them from Egypt. We really got like short-term memories, don't we? We got some amnesia. We just talked about this last week, right? Last week, we talked about the difference between crying out to God and complaining. And the difference was trust, if you remember. It's all about trust. It's all about how you see God. It's your perspective of who he is. God wants us to cry out and trust him. God wants us to cry out to him like a heavenly father. But that's a lot different than complaining. To complain is to believe that you know what's best. To complain is to doubt and to question God's will. To cry out is to say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. God, I don't understand why I'm walking through all these circumstances. God, I've been trying to follow you as you lead me. Yet will I trust you, God. Yet will I believe that you are good and that you love me and what you have for me is good. And so, God, I'm gonna trust you. I'm hurting over here, but God, I'm gonna trust that you are good and loving God, and you're going to take care of me. So what do we do? What do we do when we're hemmed in? Some of you in a hemmed in situation right now. I want to give you a few ideas that you can put in your notes today. Are you ready? I want to give you three truths to hold on to when you're in a hemmed in situation. Three truths that you can hold on to when you're in a hemmed in situation. Here's the first one. Are you ready? Number one, the first one is know that the Lord fights for you. Come on, somebody put that in your notes today. Somebody type that in the chat today. Know that it's the Lord who fights for you. Look at what it says in Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Look at verse 14. "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Come on, you got to know that it's the Lord who fights for you. Church, let me just say, there are some battles that you weren't meant to fight. There are some battles that you weren't meant to fight. If the battle seems too big for you, if the battle seems like it's too much for you, just maybe it's a battle that you weren't meant to fight on your own. You know, we really get in trouble when we try to fight battles that we weren't meant to fight. And this is what we do by nature. We're self-sufficient people. And so we begin to look to ourselves and we try to fight our battles in our own strength, with our own logic, with our own talents, with our own abilities, with our own money. And what happens is this is why we end up stressed out. This is why we end up overwhelmed. This is why we end up, you know, walking around like a bunch of heart attacks waiting to happen, because we're trying to fight battles that we weren't meant to fight. There are some battles that you got to give to God. There are some seasons in life where you got to do your best and trust God with the rest. God, I'm going to do everything I know to do, but God, ultimately, the battle belongs to you. The battle belongs to the Lord. God, I trust you with my life. God, I trust you with my health. God, I trust you with my purpose. God, I trust you with my finances. God, I trust you with my family. I'm going to do my best, but God, the battle is yours. I was thinking back about my high school days and my best friend from high school, Kyle, who ended up being my best man at my wedding and who's still like a brother to me today. We're still close. And back in high school, Kyle had a guy who started bullying him. And my friend Kyle, he was like the nicest guy you ever met. He legit won the award like for most friendly our senior year of high school. And so he never had a problem with anybody, but this guy had a problem with him and kind of started bullying him. And Kyle wasn't the kind of guy to really fight back. And he wasn't getting into it with this guy. Anyway, Kyle had some neighbors named Jonathan and Andrew who were our friends, and we all kind of ran together. And Jonathan and Andrew were pretty scrappy guys. So word got back to them that this guy was bullying my best friend Kyle. Well, one day after school, Jonathan showed up and surprised the bully. He bullied the bully and beat him up pretty good after school. Now, I'm not condoning violence, okay? I'm not saying that was right. I'm just saying it's kind of nice to know that somebody has your back. I'm just saying it's kind of nice to know that somebody is fighting for you. Come on, when you feel overpowered, when you feel outmatched, it's nice to know that somebody is fighting for you. And that's who our God is. Come on, the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. That's who we serve. That's who we trust, and he's the God who fights for you. Now, I want to show you something else. I love the New American Standard Version of verse 14. It says, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. While you keep silent. Instead of complaining, instead of worrying, instead of fighting back, there's this sense like, God, I'm going to allow you to fight for me, and I'm going to be still and know that you are God. I'm going to be quiet. Come on. Sometimes when you're in a conflict with someone, the best thing you can do is just be quiet and let God be your defender. Come on. Just trust that eventually the truth is going to come out. Our temptation is always to fight back, but sometimes it's best to just be quiet and let God fight your battles for you. Sometimes in trying to defend yourself, you only make yourself look more guilty. So maybe somebody's gossiping about you, or maybe somebody's talking about you, or maybe you got a really negative performance review at work when you know that you've done your best and that manager's just out to get you or whatever. Sometimes it's best to just be quiet and let God be your defender. Let me just tell you, I've discovered something as a pastor. I've learned that over the years of ministry, I can't please everybody. And every now and then, it doesn't happen often, but every now and then somebody leaves the church and they're disappointed with me. I couldn't live up to whatever they thought a pastor should be. And guess what I've learned? I've learned to let my ministry speak for itself. I've learned I really can't control what people have to say about me, but I'm going to live with a sense of, God, I know I'm not perfect, but you know my heart. You know the way I've treated people. And God, I'm going to let you be my defender. Come on, God, I'm going to let you fight my battles for me. Church, let me just tell you something. You don't have to accept the invitation to every fight you're invited to. Come on, let me say that to you again. You don't have to accept the invitation to every fight you get invited to. Sometimes you can step back and say, God, I'm gonna let you fight my battles for me. I'm gonna do my best and trust you with the rest. What do we do in a situation where we're hemmed in? Well, we hold on to a few truths here. The first is, we know that he's the God who fights our battles for us. Here's the second thing. We know that God, you gotta know this, know that God never leads you to a dead end. Know that God never leads you to a dead end. Look at this, verses 15 through 16. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Come on, move on. Don't just be stuck, move on. Look at verse 16. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Come on, sometimes a hemmed-in situation feels like a dead end. Certainly this felt like a dead-end situation for the Israelites. They're standing before the Red Sea region, and it looks like one really big, fat dead end. We got the desert in one direction. We got the Red Sea in front of us, and we got, you know, the army of Egypt pressing down on us like we're in trouble. Come on, sometimes your hemmed-in season, like it seems like a dead end. Let me ask this question. What's the Red Sea in your life? What is it? Is maybe a bad medical report you got? Is it a broken relationship? Maybe it's you parents just trying to figure out how to homeschool your kids this next year, or just be a good parent through this pandemic season. Like, what is it for you? Maybe it's some struggle you've had with sin or some addictive behavior. Like, what's your Red Sea? Sometimes it can feel like, God, I've been following you, but you've led me to this dead end. I feel like this whole COVID season just seems like one big dead end. But just maybe what seems like a dead end is actually a bridge to a new normal. Come on, let me say that to you again. Somebody showed up today just to get that. Maybe what seems like a dead end is a bridge to a new normal. God is saying, I want to bring you into a whole new normal. I want to do a whole new thing in your life. You cried out to me, I heard you, and I'm trying to move you forward, but you got to trust me. And what happens when we get hemmed in, we typically do one of two things. The first mistake we make is that we end up being overwhelmed by despair, thinking that we just reached this dead end, and thinking that God has abandoned us and we're in trouble. And so despair just creeps into our lives and we just get stuck and we don't move forward. Or we do the opposite. We keep trying to go back to what we knew before. We get so preoccupied trying to find our way back to normal and whatever that looked like, used to look like, that we miss out on the new thing that God wants to do in our lives. Come on, maybe God is wanting to do a whole new thing in your life. Some of you at the beginning of this year, come on, go back to the beginning of the year. I know it seems like forever ago. Some of you at the beginning of this year, you made some promises to God, like, God, I want to be closer to you. God, I want to be a person of faith. I want to have greater faith this year. God, I want to trust you more. God, I want to learn to depend on you more. And guess what? God heard your prayers. And for some reason, at this moment in time in history, God's allowed us all to go through this season of challenged faith, this crazy pandemic.